Happy New Year, everyone. Welcome back to season two of the Food Trainers podcast. I'm here with Kayleen, who is in charge of our shop and also the Shop Food Trainers Insta.
Hi, everyone. Feels good to be back in action here. I missed you, Lauren.
Oh, somebody missed me. So yes, we're back. And today is a topic that, you know, I love. And I think I may love it a little bit more because I think there's so many haters this year more than ever. So today we're talking resolutions or intentions or goal setting. I think what I've seen a lot of is the latest backlash seems to be against like New Year, New You, which is just like a dumb, outdated concept.
Little saying, yeah.
Saying, exactly. But I just think there has to be some middle ground between thinking you're going to change every aspect of your life in one year and doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk about goal setting, and some of the statistics are pretty grim. But really, in our opinion, that's just because of the way we traditionally set resolutions. So we're going to give you our top 10 tips for resolutioning. And at the end of the episode, we're launching a segment called Q&A, where I'll answer a listener question. Okay, so diving in. Tip one is to make multiple resolutions. So avoid putting all your eggs in one resolution basket by making more than one resolution. There's probably more than one thing you can benefit that can benefit from being improved. And some things are always easier to accomplish than others.
I love this idea too, because I always tend to be bad at narrowing things down. I always end up having like three or four resolutions, and they're not always health and wellness related. Sometimes I want to learn something new or I want to try something different.
So now you don't have to choose.
Yeah.
exactly what you said, it helps you. You can cover different aspects mm-hmm. of your life. We're not delusional. We think there is more than health and wellness. And if you're someone who has a lot of resistance when it comes to health and wellness, sometimes it's nice, you know, learning something new can mm-hmm. be less daunting. So at Food Trainers, our clients make multiple resolutions and then use them as a roadmap for the year ahead. Rather than falling off the wagon, what you'll find is that different parts of the year may be more conducive to certain goals on your list, and you're always going to be more successful, as we just said, in a few areas, and this spurs you on. So think of it as a to-do list. When you make a to-do list, you don't tick off, or at least I don't, tick off every item every day. There's some items you immediately tackle and others that may remain on the list for a few days. I like the list of resolutions because I like to address all the mm-hmm. different areas of your life. So maybe you have a fitness goal. One year I decided to run the Chicago Marathon. I haven't been as ambitious with my fitness goal since, but I did do it. Maybe there's a hobby you want to pursue or a habit like meditation or keeping a food log. We'll get more specific in the tips ahead, but I'd suggest between 5 to 10 items on your resolution list. And this way you can look at it more as a map than like a complete crapshoot. Tip two is to set yes goals. We're big fans of yes goals, and yes goals are things you want to do more of, or oftentimes in our office, things you want to eat more of or drink more of. And yes goals are amazing for building momentum. You don't want like a whole bunch of no's like that. Like, I just think that gets discouraged.
Yeah, definitely.
So do you want to take more steps? Do you want to drink more tea or more water? Water is always on my
list. That's a hard one, yeah.
Do you want to be consistent with your vitamins or greens? In 2019, we did a hashtag 365 green 2019. It was harder. Anyway, this was a goal that didn't end up panning out for me, and we're going to explain why. But that's part of the goals, is to sort of see what works better and doesn't. So set a yes goal. At least, I would say, like on your resolution list, at least one of those items can be something that you want to do more of. Tip three, be more modest with goal setting. Just be more modest
in life.
In general, it's a good thing, one of our core values. So not to burst anybody's bubble, but most resolutions don't pan out because they're just completely fantasy-based. And the truth is, if you're somebody who loves a clean start, and I'm raising my hand, I do, it feels like anything's possible right now. Like, what do I want to do? Go to 100
yeah,
countries.
You know, that yeah. kind of thing.
And so I always get a little ambitious with goal setting, but here's a tip, is that we want you to dial your motivation back. So last year, one of my goals was I set a reading goal on Goodreads. It's a great website if you're looking to do a little bit more reading. So you can set like a count of books that you want to read for the year. And like I've seen people set like over 100 and I've seen people set 5. I tend to read about a book a week. So you would think like, oh, maybe you set 50 as your goal for the year, but or 45. But I set the goal at 35. And I did it. I actually passed it, but I also had like a month where I couldn't find a book that I liked. And that, I think you, it's hard to anticipate that when you're setting your goals, but you always want to think like there's going to be a time when you're not as motivated. You had an example of that.
I always get a little ambitious too, or I'll say that I want to start running. But I don't think I would necessarily say I'm going to set a goal of running a marathon or even a half marathon or a race just because I'm not even a runner at the moment.
And I think people think like those are the options.
Yeah.
Like pick a race.
That's how I always feel. And then I don't do it. But I feel like this year I realize it's important to maybe just get started and just to start running. And then from there, we'll see what I can build on.
Yeah. And how good would you feel if this time, you know, if we're at the end of the year and you're like, oh, now I'm a runner.
Yeah. I run a few times a week.
Absolutely. And so we like, on the exercise note, a good number to set is like 4 days a week. Mm-hmm. I also like 100 minutes a week. Mm-hmm. Give yourself that sense. Like you can always surpass the goal, but like progress is progress. And I think that like take the pressure back a little bit. Give yourself a chance at really succeeding. And we do the same with setting weight loss goals. Mm-hmm. We're like, I hate this question, but how many pounds should, you know, I expect to lose a week? Who knows? We don't know how to lose
so
weight.
Different.
And then they're like, okay, multiply that. I can lose like a pound or two a week. Then I should lose like, you know, I could lose 8 pounds in a month. Mm-hmm. I would never set that goal. I always say, let's lose 5.
Yeah.
And go from there. And then people are like, wow, I feel great when I lose 5. So just that concept, like turn the volume down a little bit. Tip 4 is support behaviors. So we say A plus B plus C plus D equals weight loss. So chances are some of you listening to this podcast, actually a funny aside, I was with a longtime client yesterday and I said to her, so any goals for the new year? And she's like, I want to lose weight. Like, is there another goal? There are support behaviors. So we're fine with weight loss goals, but even if that's on your list, think about support behaviors. So what are support behaviors? So focusing on wanting to lose weight is like someone who wished they had a new job and stopped there. Instead of rewriting your resume or updating your LinkedIn or going to a networking event. So the steps that will actually get you there are support behaviors. So maybe if you want to lose weight, you need to think about how much you're eating takeout or cook more. Or stock up on the weekend, this weekend, on snacks that you can bring to work or work on getting to bed earlier, which will reduce your appetite. Or maybe you need to see a nutritionist. Think about, you know, sort of what your roadblocks are versus the ultimate goal. Sorting out these steps carefully is, you know, going to really help the likelihood that you'll reach the goal. You need that like how-to. How is this going to happen? Tip 5 is add accountability. So the clients that do best at Food Trainers are not like the most hardcore necessarily, or the people with, you know, these amazing, you know, metabolic rates, or just, you know, that outdated concept of willpower, or, you know, they don't live stress-free life. The clients that do the best are the ones that like show up and take advantage of their accountability and putting that in place for themselves.
Yeah, honestly, I feel like something like food stalking or even just food journaling on your own is a great way to stay accountable.
Right. It doesn't have to be like an in-person
effort. Yeah. But we do see it with your clients all the time. Like even if they're not coming in to see you in person, they're still thinking about their food or how they're taking care of themselves all day. So they see it and it keeps them on track.
Yeah. Setting up the structure.
Mm-hmm.
And people are different. Like some clients are like, I want to do most of my sessions by phone. And some people are like, if I'm not looking at someone, it doesn't work. So it takes a little trial and error. So yeah, as Kayleen was saying, like this doesn't need to be something that you spend money on. You could keep a food log app, although some apps can make you crazy in terms of inputting your stuff. You could see a trainer or a therapist. And another technique that works, we use this actually in a program once, is to just out yourself. So you can use social media or just tell your family or a friend, like, I'm going to work out 4 days a week this year. Just like kind of put it out.
The ultimate accountability. Exactly. Yeah, tell your family.
Yeah, well, maybe decide if you want to tell your family or not. But set up some structure to help you make progress and think about the, you know, sort of method that you think is going to work best for you. So again, and I feel like some of these sound a little bit Debbie Downer-y, our sixth tip is to anticipate obstacles. And it's the same theme of like taking like the anything is possible mentality and just making it, you know, sort of grounding it a little bit more. So I think sometimes we avoid goals just because we're scared about failing. And I think there's so much propaganda out there that you're going to fail. I get that. Tim Ferriss, who has a podcast, he's also written a bunch of books like 4-Hour Work Week and I think 4-Hour Body as well. But he has a great concept that I'm adding to this list and borrowing called fear setting. He has a TED Talk on this too. But what he does is it's the concept of thinking through what can hold you back. So a little similar to support behaviors, like the steps that will help you. But this is, you know, even when I sit with new clients, I say to them like, okay, we're sitting here right now. Everything seems good. You're going to screw up. Our strategy is that that's going to happen. We're going to make the next meal on track. He wanted to, I think, live in another country. And he was like, oh, but, you know, like, how will I get my mail? And will I have clients when I get back? So he set up a structure for mm-hmm. each of those things. So I think if your goal is to cook more, you know, like, what are you going to do when you come home if there's nothing in the house? Okay, maybe you need to like have some backup ingredients, things like that. Really, you know, sort of think through your goal on a deeper level versus just naming something. Mm-hmm. And that's helpful. And watch that TED Talk because I think it's not too long and a really interesting spin on goal setting. Our next tip might be my favorite, and it's called bookends. So think about how you start your day and end your day, which is pretty powerful. I actually was listening to a podcast, and I forget who it was, but they said like that panic that sometimes sets in the morning, think about like what's going right. Just do that before you do anything else. We also, of course, use our secret weapons. Do you want to try to have apple cider vinegar in the morning? I love something called dandelion bitters that we do. That's a great for your liver, great deep loader. Clients that are coffee drinkers love like a coffee ritual. You could put cinnamon in your coffee, which is great for your blood sugar. Or MCT oil for fat loss. We are loving cacao this time of year, which you can also put in coffee and make mm-hmm. it sort of like a mocha.
Yum.
Yeah, yum, yum. anything chocolatey. And it is great for appetite control and also very good hormonally. Same thing for the evening. So pick something in the morning. Again, it doesn't have to be food related. It could be meditating, a gratitude journal. There's even a lot of really good research about the power of making your bed in the morning and the trajectory that sets you up for. And then same thing in the evening. So I rotate like a million teas, hibiscus. We have a really good turmeric one in stock, ginger, some sort of, you know, an after dinner tea. And I have a serious lineup with my chill pills and my sweet dream drop. So again, that's just because I believe in those things, but I would pick at least one thing for the morning and one thing for the evening. We can't always control like everything that happens in the day, but you tend to have like a little bit more control over how your day starts and stops. Mm-hmm. Tip 8, never say never. So I think that like, you know, if these concepts aren't sounding sexy enough, like you like a grander goal, you might be someone who just thrives a little bit more on a no list. But if you're looking to, let's say, quit sugar, New York Times had a very good article on quitting sugar 2020 this week. Look that up. We can post the link too. Or quitting smoking, definitely quit smoking. Mm-hmm. If you're smoking. I would just advise against setting a no goal for a year. Like start with a week, start with a month, You know, whether you want to go gluten-free or whatever it is, and then reassess.
Mm-hmm. Or I know some people talk about dry January. And I actually maybe don't do a hard no. I saw this on Instagram. Someone mentioned damp January. And I was like,
damp January.
Like, I could kind of do that.
Maybe, I could do damp.
Like a week, or maybe don't drink during the week, just have a drink on the weekend, something like that.
Some sort of a, that's not a hard no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think again, like, depending on the area, depending on the person, some people would want the hard no and some people damp.
That's more
go down. Yeah. We last year, we set the hashtag I was just talking about earlier, the 365 green 2019. And I love the concept. And like a bunch of people on Instagram did like way better with it.
That's awesome. Yeah.
But I hate it. I hated it. I hated it because I felt like some days I do cauliflower instead of a green.
Still a vegetable.
Still a vegetable. It wasn't like 365 veg 29.
Mm-hmm.
But it just, it made me feel like I wasn't doing it well enough.
Yeah.
And again, that's a good lesson. Like what do we learn from like the goals? Like I'm not claiming to do anything every single day. Mm-hmm. I like the damp, like I'm going to do more of this.
Or
learn that.
Or tweak something a little bit.
Yeah. I think again, it that left me feeling like a failure as everybody like tagged us. They're like, what's the hashtag this year? I'm like, none. And then another concept with no's that I think is helpful is methadoning. So if you, let's say what Kayleen said, if you're cutting back or down or out alcohol, maybe you use kombucha or put like sparkling water with lime in a wine glass. If you're giving up sweeteners, maybe you use cinnamon, which gives you a little bit of a sweet taste. If you're divorcing Diet Coke and like we're here to help, like you could do like a Spindrift or something like that. So giving yourself, instead of saying, I'm not going to do this, you're saying, I'm going to do this instead, subbing something out. And again, like do your no for a week or a month max. And if it's going well, keep going. But I think a year is a long time. Our next tip, sort of our woo-woo maybe, is item for others. Like I feel as if it's always nice to have something on your resolution list that doesn't have to do with you. Sometimes some of us are better at doing things when they aren't for us. So a quick shout out to my friend, Devin, and she's my roommate a million years ago on Semester C, which is, we have lots of stories, but she's the best. First of all, she's awesome handwriting, which I don't. But whether it's like holidays or birthday, she's like a huge handwritten note person. And it's like, I seriously like one of my favorite things of the year. So I'm going to try to do a handwritten note in my like lefty handwriting once a week, like to someone.
Yeah, I love that.
So you have an item for others, not to put you on the
spot. I know. Yeah, it got me thinking now, but I know one of my resolutions is to cook more. So maybe it could be like cooking for other people, cooking for my family.
Right. Absolutely. Kind of, that's a good idea too, to kind of unite your goals.
Yeah.
Like maybe you'd be more likely to cook if it was
for other people. Yeah.
Absolutely. And finally, resolution review. So you would never with a work project or with most things be like, here's my goal. Let's cross our fingers and see if it happens. So you want to go back and review your resolution list. So I would set a reminder on your computer or your phone and look at your list at least once a month, if not more than that. If your workouts aren't happening, maybe you need to fine tune the goal, or maybe you need to add accountability. But I think the act of like veering and regrouping is like very important in the course of goals. And you learn a lot about it when you can sort of right the ship. So just to recap, first, make multiple resolutions. We said 5 to 10. The second was to set at least one yes goal or an eat more item. The third was be more modest with goal setting and in life. So take that motivation and just, you know, assume that like in June, you might be feeling a little differently. Support behaviors. How are you going to get there? You know, what do you need to do to make that like overarching goal happen? Add accountability. How will you keep yourself on track? Anticipate some of those obstacles. So again, that was the concept called fear setting, which is to think of the things that could go wrong and think of the solutions in advance. Bookends, starting your day and ending your day with something healthy for your mind or body. Never say never, or maybe, you know, we would say like try a no in the short term, not a no for the year. One item for others and do that resolution review. Sounds like a lot, but they all work together. So as I said, one of the things I was I'm going to do is to write, you know, sort of the handwritten notes. I'm going to try for one a week, but I'm just going to do more of those in general. My yes item would be to do one new recipe a week. Mm-hmm. I've set this one before and it works. I just feel like even like the dog is bored of my cooking. Everybody's like rolling their eyes. I'll use Kayleen as accountability. So for bookends, dandelion bitters work well. And interestingly, like I had it in my kitchen and it worked better for me, like near where I brush my teeth in the bathroom, a side point.
Do you put it in water or you just take the drops?
It's interesting. I put the dandelion bitters in water, but I do the sweet green drops because they taste a little better straight.
Yeah.
The dandelions, I mean, it's a little rough, but I feel like it makes me feel like just other things that'll probably be on my list, you know, writing like 30 minutes a day, or hobbies. I want to learn chess. Yes. These are chess players, but I feel like a more of a backgammon.
I know. I never learned either. We could do it together.
Some office chess. And again, like it sounds like a lot, but like, who knows what's good, like what's going to, maybe we'll learn chess. Maybe we won't. What do you have? What's on your list?
So like I mentioned, I do want to cook more. I want to cook more meals like at home, like lunch and dinner, and just learn new ones too. Maybe we could do the one new recipe a week together too, just to get more comfortable in the kitchen. Bookends, definitely on the dandelion bitters train with you too. I just started that in December. So it'd be awesome to continue doing that for the year. Something I do in the morning, same thing. Like yeah. I put it
I
in my water.
I wonder like what makes people more compliant, because we see like that one's like always like a top seller and people we both do it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's because it's like a little bottle or it's easy to do, or maybe just because it's a deep loader.
I think that's part of it too. And it comes in a nice little bottle that it's just easy.
Easy.
Yeah. And then also, I do want to start meditating more consistently this year too. I've always done it a little more sporadically.
Running, meditating.
I know. Yeah. Okay, so what's on the list? Cooking, running, meditating. And then I also want to learn calligraphy. That's one of my, kind of like my chess. Like,
love that.
Yeah.
That will not be on my list.
I know. But I love that one. And then bookends, dandelion bitters, and maybe meditating. I don't know if I'll do it in the morning or the night. I got to get specific.
Yeah, and there's some great like bedtime meditation that work for people. Okay, so now those are our resolutions. Definitely share yours with us. The new segment is called Q&Aid.
Such a cute name.
We try.
So the first question we have is from Ivy from Instagram. And she asks, what are the best foods to eat for clearer skin?
Such a good question. We actually have a whole episode, so I don't want to give too much away, coming up on skin and hair. And I think that the temptation with skin and hair, and I don't want to disappoint Ivy, but is to like have, you know, some sort of like secret weapon, which we love to like cure everything. And I think what you want to do is to make sure that your basics are in order for skin. So first, are you drinking enough water? We have like a visual is very powerful with water. We have this big flask that's 64 ounces because the bigger the vessel, the more you drink. And, you know, water is just integral for skin health. So start there. Second, and it's a good time of year, take stock of the amount of sugar in your diet. I mean, we talk about delaying aging, or I guess anti-aging is, we're not allowed to use that term anymore. So aging well, but the most aging item in our diet, you know, is probably sugar, even more so than alcohol. So look at sugar in your diet. We have a whole episode devoted to that. And if your skin issues are in the acne direction, definitely skip skim dairy, which is the worst for acne. But you know, if you're struggling with acne, give dairy a break. So dairy, sugar, water. If I were to pick one secret weapon, I love collagen protein for skin. You can either use the powder or get collagen by drinking bone broth. But definitely more to come on this. And you know, I definitely love to hear where people's questions lie. So submit your questions. You could do it on Insta or Facebook for us. Make those multiple resolutions and tag us. We'd love to see what you're striving for. We can keep each other accountable and maybe share the podcast, you know, with a pro resolution New Year's friend so that we get even more listeners. Excellent. We'll see you next week, everyone.
Yay. Thank you.